Okay, gentlemen, this week's parasha is Parashas Vayishlach. And in Parashas Vayishlach, one of the central episodes that happens in the Torah is that Yaakov Avinu purchases some land in the outskirts of Shechem, and his daughter Dina one day goes and she takes a walk, and Dina is raped by Shechem. Right, that's what the Torah says. And then they come to Yaakov. Chamor and his son Shechem come to Yaakov, and they say, "We really want to marry your daughter." And the Torah says that first they make a deal. They say, "If you all circumcise yourselves, so then you can join our tribe. If not, you can't." And then Shimon and Levi go, and Shimon and Levi kill the entire city of Shechem. And Yaakov Avinu is really upset at Shimon and Levi. Yaakov Avinu says, "Achar temosi, you sullied my image, right? Lahavisheni biyosheva aretz, you embarrassed me, and there are very few people with us, and they're going to come and kill us. And what you did is really wrong." And Yaakov Avinu then curses Shimon and Levi, right? The brachos that Yaakov gives in Parshas Vayechi, you don't want all of those brachos. The bracha that Yaakov gives to Shimon and Levi, right, is Shimon and Levi, Achim Klei Chomas Mechero Sehem, Besodem Al Tavol Nafshi. I don't want anything to do with them, right? That's like what they call in Yiddish, that they give you a Misha Beirach. Right, it's a real, right? You don't want one of those. Now, what exactly happened in this episode of Shechem? How come Shimon and Levi go and kill the entire city? So the Rambam famously comments that Shimon and Levi had some halachic justification for what they did. The non-Jews are obligated in Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. One of the mitzvahs that the non-Jews have is dinim, which means they have to establish a court system and prosecute people who act improperly. And apparently the city of Shechem, the entire city, deserved to be killed, not just Shechem, who raped Dina, but the entire city deserves to be killed because they did not properly establish a court system. That's the position of the Rambam. And the Ramban already raises a question on the Rambam. He says, one second, if you, Rambam, are correct that there's halachic justification for what Shimon and Levi did, so how come Yaakov is so upset with them? Why is Yaakov Avinu so upset with what Shimon and Levi did? Now, we could answer just the simple reading of the Pesukim, that Yaakov Avinu is saying, Ani misei misbar, v'nesu alai v'hikuni. He's just saying, practically speaking, there are very few of us and many of them, and they might kill us. But the Chazon Ish, in his Sefer Emuna U'Bitachon, in the fourth perek, the Chazon Ish has an interpretation that maybe what was troubling Yaakov was the deceit that's going on. First, they're saying, you know what, join us, circumcise yourselves, right? We'll marry you, you'll marry us, we'll be one big happy family. And then they go and they kill them. And Yaakov Avinu gets really upset. He says, that's wrong. Deception is forbidden. And deception has a term in Hebrew. It's called Geneva Stas. Geneva Stas is a really bad thing. And what got Yaakov upset is not so much that they killed Shechem, but that they deceived Shechem. That was the problem. This issue of Geneva Stas is something that we don't focus on enough. You know, the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Tzadi Daled, it's also relevant to this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, there is a prohibition of Gid Hanasha. Right, the Torah says that the Jewish people developed a custom not to eat Gid Hanasha. It's only a custom until the Torah is given at Har Sinai. Then it became a real law. But because Yaakov Avinu has this fight with the angel of Esav, and Vateka b'chaf yirecho, somehow Yaakov Avinu becomes limp in this battle. So therefore the Jewish people don't eat Gid Hanasha. And in the context of Gid Hanasha, the Gemara writes that it's forbidden to sell a non-Jew a yerech, a thigh of an animal, when you made cuts in that thigh already. You're allowed to sell a non-Jew a complete thigh, because then the non-Jew knows that there's Gid Hanasha in there. But if you made a cut in the thigh, the non-Jew might think that you did him a big favor. You went out of your way to traver the animal. And the non-Jew might be appreciative of what you did, even though it doesn't matter for him halachically. He could eat Gid Hanasha, but he still will appreciate the effort that you put in. So the Gemara says, I'm not allowed to sell a yerech. I can't sell the thigh to a non-Jew when it's cut, because that's the prohibition of Geneva Stas. The source of Geneva Stas in the Torah, also the source in the Gemara, Daf Tzadi Dal and Chulin, also comes from this week's parasha of Gid Hanasha. When we talk about Geneva Stas, there are two different types of Geneva Stas. If you go through the Gemara over there, there's one type of Geneva Stas where it's a monetary issue. The case that I mentioned about selling or sending the thigh when it's trabered, that is a monetary type of Geneva Stas. Geneva Stas in the sense of I am overinflating the item, and as a result, I am earning undue goodwill. I only deserve to earn a goodwill based on what I really did. But if the goodwill that I'm earning is undue, I didn't really do it for you. So that's called Geneva Stas, and that's forbidden. The Gemara speaks about Geneva Stas in a monetary context. The Gemara also discusses Geneva Stas in the context of earning undue goodwill. Let's say I want to invite you to a meal, and I know you're not going to come, but I keep on inviting you, and I say, please come, please come, and I send invitations again and again and again. So that's also Geneva Stas, because you think I'm really a good friend of yours, and that's why I'm inviting you again and again. But in reality, I know you're not going to come. So that's why I'm inviting you. That's undue goodwill. That's an iser of Geneva Stas as well. Geneva Stas is not just frumkeit. The Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, in Simen Reish Kaf Ches, quotes the prohibition of Geneva Stas. The prohibition of Geneva Stas, the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, is interesting because it goes against the way commerce is done in our world. In particular, I think Geneva Stas, the way it's presented in Shulchan Aruch, basically tells you that much of advertising is forbidden. If I am selling you something, Shulchan Aruch writes, I have to reveal every defect in the item. You know the famous used car salesman, right? So a used car salesman basically tries to hide every flaw in the car. And you have to go to, right? You could trace the car's number to see whether there is bodywork or not. And people who buy used cars know that the used car salesmen are trying to hide all of the flaws.
Nice, Shahaya. We were almost bought a used car. We called the Nissan dealership that it was last serviced at, and it was they told us it was a very bad idea to buy this car.
Don't buy the car because there was body work or something. It's a bad idea, correct? So again, sometimes buying a used car could be a very good idea, but you have to do your homework. In the general world, what you did is what happens. The assumption is buyer beware, right? Caveat emptor. That's the standard thing in the non-Jewish world. In the halachic world, the seller is responsible to disclose all of the flaws in the object. If the seller does not disclose the flaws in the object, that is called Geneivas Das. And that would be the type of Geneivas Das which appears in Choshen Mishpat, the type of Geneivas Das that is relevant to the world of money. If you read the Rambam carefully, the Rambam in the second parak of Hilchos Deos, Halacha Vav, the Rambam notes that Geneivas Das applies to non-Jews. But the Rambam seems to say, and this is a point that Rav Soloveitchik's uncle, Rav Menachem Krakowski, makes in the Sefer Avodas Melech, the Rambam writes that the prohibition of Geneivas Das to non-Jews refers to the Geneivas Das of monetary matters. Lo yimkar l'nochri basar nevela b'makom basar shkuta. If I'm selling meat to the guy, I shouldn't tell him, by the way, this is kosher meat, even though it's not kosher meat. It doesn't matter for him. But sometimes people pay more money for kosher meat. That type of Geneivas Das applies to non-Jews as well. But lo yisarev b'chaveru sheyochal etzlo. The type of Geneivas Das, which is just that I'm badgering you, the Nesivos points out that lo yisarev b'chaveru doesn't mean that I ask you once. It means I badger you. I ask you time and time again, come to me. There's no monetary element of that Geneivas Das. It's just that I am getting undue goodwill with not in the case of a sale. So that type of Geneivas Das only applies to Jews. That's Meduyak in the Rambam. The language of the Rambam seems to imply that although the Gemara says Geneivas Das is forbidden to non-Jews, and although that's what would emerge from this episode of Shechem, nonetheless, that might only be Geneivas Das in a monetary sort of way. Apparently, the episode of Shechem and Dina is also a monetary element in that they offered a significant dowry for her. Right? There is some deception involved. We're going to marry you, you'll marry us, we'll partner together. Right? That seems like it's a monetary issue. That type of Geneivas Das is forbidden to non-Jews. If you go through some of the Rishonim as well, the Sefer Yireim in Mitzvah Kufchof Dalad, the Sefer Yireim discusses Geneivas Das and discusses whether it's a Torah prohibition or a rabbinic prohibition. And the Sefer Yireim seems to be saying that the Torah prohibition of Geneivas Das is with respect to financial matters. The rabbinic prohibition of Geneivas Das is just undue goodwill with respect to things which are non-financial. That's a rabbinic prohibition. If you look in the Sefer Haredim quotes the mitzvah of, quotes the prohibition of Geneivas Das in two different places. In one place, he counts it among the mitzvos d'oraisa. In the other place, he counts it among the mitzvos d'rabbanan. I could flip through my pages to find exact sources if you like. But the basic idea of the Sefer Haredim is the same thing. That Geneivas Das can be the Oraisa or it can be the Rabbanan, depending on the monetary, whether it's monetary or not. That would seem to be the explanation. The commentary on the Sefer Haredim has a different explanation. He assumes that Geneivas Das, if you do an action, is forbidden min haTorah. But Geneivas Das, if you just use words, is forbidden rabbinically. The Gemara talks about a case. Let's say you come to me for a meal, and I open a bottle of wine. And you think I'm opening the bottle of wine as a favor to you. A new bottle of wine has a better taste. Really, I wanted to drink this wine on my own. And even if you didn't join me, I would drink this wine. The Gemara says that's Gneva Stas. Now, according to this explanation in the Sefer Haredim, that would be Gneva Stas Min HaTorah, because that's an action. According to the way we're saying it, it's not about action versus non-action, but the issue depends on whether it's monetary, whether it's a sale, or whether it's just undue goodwill. So in this case, it's not a sale. I'm just inviting you to my home and I'm opening a bottle of wine. There's no sale involved. According to our explanation, that would be rabbinic. But be it as it may, people often think that Geneva Stas is just frumkeit. Don't deceive, because we're supposed to be honest. And sometimes people might say that Yaakov Avinu, who is the model of Emes, no? Avram Avinu is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gevura, Yaakov is Emes. People might say that Yaakov is all bent out of shape because Yaakov can't countenance any deception. But I think when we look at the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, and we recognize that Geneva Stas is halacha, that means it applies to everyone. I don't remember where this source is. I was looking for it briefly this morning, but there is a source that the reason why Golos has been so long is the result of Geneva Stas. You have to question, what is it that we did to have such a long time in Golos? And obviously, we don't know why Hashem does things. Obviously, there could be many, many, many things. But it's entirely possible that the Jewish people have a responsibility of honesty above and beyond any question. We have to be beyond any reproach. And even though in secular society, in the world at large, buyer beware is a legitimate concept, but we have to disclose every flaw in items that we sell. We have to be completely honest. And to some extent, I think that's the lesson of Shimon and Levi. What they were doing is they said, listen, you know, they were wrong, we'll get them. And it could be that they were halachically justified based on the pure rules, the way the Rambam sets them out, that an entire town can suffer because you don't have a legal system, etc. But our responsibility is pure honesty. And it's not just that Yaakov Avinu got bent out of shape. The halacha follows the opinions that Geneva Stas is really a problem. The Rambam writes that one who violates, it's a Rambam, the Perish HaMishnah in Mesachas Kalim, that when a person is engaged in Geneva Stas, that the Rambam terms as being a Chilul Hashem. The Avir for which tshuva doesn't really work, by desecrating God's name, that the Rambam says is Geneva Stas. I think there are some really good articles about Geneva Stas and how it applies in a commercial atmosphere. But just practically in life, I think the responsibility that we have to be honest beyond any shadow of a doubt is absolute. And I think to some extent, that's what the Torah is going to get in this week's parasha. Ellie?
In the case of like opening the wine bottle, like the person like unnecessarily feels special. I'm just wondering like why you're tricking him because you want it anyways, but like the person, like you give the person the good feeling that like you care about him and you're doing this, you're making him honored. So like
so I think what, if I understand correctly, your question is, what's so bad if you make someone feel good? I open a new bottle of wine, so you feel like I like you. What's the big deal, right? So you're going to walk away like some meach v'tov lev. You'll walk away and you're happy. Why is that forbidden? That's a fair question. But I think the halacha, you know, I should make you feel good. But I should make you feel good in appropriate ways. If I make you feel good through deception. And by the way, the Rambam quotes Ganevas Das as a problem in Hilchos Deos. It's a problem with my Midos. I'm deceit. Deos for the Rambam is Midos. Right? Deos means that you have wrong attitudes. If my attitude is that I want you to like me and I'll do things which are really for me and you'll think is for you, that's deception. That's the problem. The issue is not that you feel good. The issue is that I'm doing it in a deceptive way. Find some way to make the guy feel good without deception. I think that's the idea. Again, so I want to wish everyone a good Shabbos. And thank you for listening. And we'll continue, God willing, on Sunday.
Thank you. Good Shabbos.
Oh, actually, Sunday, I'm giving a shiur. It's officially in Stanford, but it's really on my computer. I think I might have to start here at 11:30 rather than like 11, just because of the timing. I'll send out a WhatsApp to people after I look at my calendar, remember exactly what time that shiur is. Okay, have a good day, guys.